The following program is in no way representative of the high-quality programming usually heard on the Maverick Radio Network. The views expressed and fishing techniques demonstrated are not endorsed by this station. The following is not a news broadcast. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I kind of know. A little bit.
Just think it over.
Know a little bit of what you're saying some of the time.
Hi, folks.
Hey.
Welcome to the Five Count.
Welcome.
We're back.
We're here again.
We're big and back and better than ever.
That's right.
And a ton has been listening to countless hours of Grand Funk Railroad.
I have been, yeah.
So he is really just pretty amped for tonight's program.
Pumped up.
I mean, more amped than usual.
Big time.
His pecs are...
decked.
They're decked. The pecs are decked.
That's right.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't know either.
This is the Five Count. It's a special...
special edition.
Special night.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of our big steamrolling 2010 summer tour.
It
where
is.
Where we're just interviewing celebrities.
Left and right. We got so many interviews, we can't even play them all.
They're in and out of here. Just it's ridiculous. We've got like 20 of them lined up in the wings.
It is.
A bunch of them are hanging out like, hey, can we be on the show? No, thanks, big stars. We don't have time.
Sorry. We like to try and be more entertaining with more kind of down-to-earth people. This one's really special. This one's really special to Minnesota and our area.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty big deal, I would say. I think it's a big deal. I know Dusty really likes this interview.
I do.
My mom really likes it. Pretty much everybody.
Can we say who it is?
Go ahead.
It's Allison Arngrim, a.k.a. Nellie Olson from Little House on the Prairie.
There you go.
You know that show.
Little House.
It just warms your heart.
It does.
Can I just say this now?
Say
I didn't say this to anybody else. I'm letting you know firsthand here.
Okay.
But Nellie Olson, she was like... the cuter one on the show, but like I saw the photo of her on her book jacket.
Yeah.
She's pretty hot.
She's hot.
I'm just saying.
She's hot.
I don't know if, I probably won't mention that to her because that's a little
I don't
creepy.
Know why you don't.
Well, I think
you're
she's
gonna
married.
Meet her. You're going to meet her.
I will be. She's going to be in Walnut Grove.
She's going to be here.
Coming up on Friday.
Yep.
You should probably go.
Yeah.
You want to go? I'm going.
Could go, yeah.
I'm going to go hang out in Plum Creek.
I know you're definitely going.
I heard maybe Almanzo would be there.
Yeah,
and
yes.
I think you two need to square off.
Oh, man.
You're like the new Almanzo. They called him Manly on the show.
Yeah,
that's why he reminds me of you.
He might have some old tricks, though.
You think
so? Could be tough.
He has cool hair.
Yeah, which I'm working on it. I'm constantly working on cool hair.
You kind of have the little Almanzo swirl going.
Mm-hmm. A little bit of wave to it.
But we're talking to Nellie, and she's going to talk about Michael Landon.
Yep.
You remember him.
Yeah.
Little Joe from Bonanza. Ton, you look like a Bonanza kind of guy. I know ate at the restaurant Bonanza a lot.
Ate there a lot. Loved it.
This was the TV show.
Yes.
In the Old West.
Yeah. I'm kind of a Bonanza type guy.
Ton wishes he were a deputy.
I do.
He wears a little star badge.
Sometimes. I have a belt, too.
Assless chaps.
Yeah. I had a request once to just wear the quick draw belt only.
I remember making that request. Yeah, you don't have to remind me.
Not you.
I was there.
It was from a female.
So what do you say?
I say we should probably do it. It's pretty exciting. I think it's great. I think it's a cool thing that we're doing here.
We're cool dudes.
I think so. I mean, this is a pretty, like, down-to-earth, back-home kind of a thing for this area. This is kind of special.
Let's play some Nelly-related tunes, and then we will call her up.
Sounds good. In an old Davis home alone, ain't entertaining. When the cat gets off, I'm picking them up and leaning them down. Everybody is a rocker, they're feeling real swell. Except for little gal called Knock-Deep Nell. Oh, Knock-Deep Nell never gets the ball at all. She wears big black vocals, got the vocal straight hair. The cats and the chicks thinking she's real square. What's worse at all? Oh, she's anxious to dance. Her name started knocking before she ever puts a chance. So oh, Knock-Deep Nell never gets the ball at all. And they call her Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-Knock-
standing in the moonlight by the old garden gate. Nellie, my darling, I know you will wait. Wait for me, dearest, he said in tears, that I'll be your sweetheart through all the long years. I love you, Nellie, yes, I'll be true all these long years have been just for you. And believe me, Nellie, when I'm far away, I'll not forget you. I'll be with you someday. Break up day, he was to journey so far away, drawing her nearer, his promised bride. By the pale moonlight, these words he replied: I love you, Nellie. Yes, I'll be true. Long years have been just for you, and believe me, Nellie, when I'm far away, I'll not forget you. I'll be with you someday.
Hey, this is Ernie Hudson, and man, on the five count, I have heard that'll turn you white.
Get down, get down, get down tonight.
Get down tonight, yeah.
Get down tonight,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Get
down,
yeah.
Get down, get down.
Yeah.
Get down tonight.
Woo. Yeah.
Gonna get it down.
Yeah.
When you're trying to punch a little house, gonna get it down. Get it down, 'cause Nellie's getting on your nerves. Better give her a call. Get it down. Woo.
Get it down.
That's your cue.
My
Thank
cue.
Thank you for calling College Inn Capitol Plaza. This is Leslie. How can I help you?
Can we have Allison Arngrim's room, please?
Okay, one moment.
Guests find our location.
That was awesome.
Hello.
Hello, is this Allison?
Yes, it is.
Allison, this is Dustin Wilmus from KMSU. How you doing?
Oh, very good. Let me turn down the air conditioning here so you can hear me here.
Okay.
There we go. Hi.
I'm here with my co-host, Tun.
Hey there, how you doing?
Uh-huh.
We were jamming out to the music they're playing over the phone there when they were connecting us.
It's some pretty rock and hold music, yeah. It was pretty funky. Is that kind of a funky place you're staying at? Is there like disco balls in the rooms?
So. I think so. It's very downtown.
I mean, they have AC.
Lovely.
Yeah.
They have AC, so that's something.
Well, we'll start it off with the pretty standard question of how you got started in acting.
Oh, well, that's easy. Well, yeah, my entire family were in show business. I actually thought pretty much everybody was on TV until I was like 7 years old. I started working when I was a little kid. I guess my first job would be the Hunt's Ketchup commercial I got when I was six. I did that. And I did other little commercials and TV things. I did a movie when I was 10. It's called Throw Out the Anchor. And then I didn't get Little House until I was 12. That was the big break.
Okay. And your mom did the voice for Gumby, right? I read that in your book.
Yes. My mother was the voice of Gumby. She was also Casper the Friendly Ghost. She was also Sweet Polly Purebred, Underdog's Girlfriend, and Davy of Davy and Goliath.
Wow. That's a tall order.
She's kind of everybody, you know, and then, of course, she's Davy's mom and Davy's sister and Gumby's mom and Gumby's sister, so she's just kind of like everyone in the cartoon. So.
Okay. Was that weird, having your Gumby as your mom? Or?
It was completely weird. I turn on the cartoons on Saturday morning, and because she'd be Gumby and Davy and Sweet Polly. She was a guest Smurf. She was a permanent Smurf, but she was a Smurf once. And then she also did a lot of commercials. She did, like, there was a Cocoa Puffs commercial she did and several others. So if you timed it right, you could sit there and watch, like, several hours of cartoons, and she was all the voices, the cartoons and the commercials. It did make it a little bizarre.
Wow.
So, Mom is coming out of the TV.
Yeah, that's crazy. That would be pretty wild.
Ton, you were a replacement Smurf once, were you?
Yep. Yeah. It's last minute.
They have
deal.
A lot of high turnover in Smurfs.
Yeah, yeah.
So how did you end up with the part of Nellie?
Well, you know, I was being a good little kid actor. I went out and I actually read for the part of Laura, which I'm glad I didn't get, because it was like the search for Scarlett O'Hara for eight-year-olds. Everybody read for Laura. But it was this little country girl, and it was so not me. And then they called me back, and I read for Mary, and I kept thinking, you know, how many people are on this show? And, you know, they went and they made the pilot, and I thought I was done. And then they said, no, come back. And I'm like, come back and do what? And there was this other girl, and I start reading the script, and I was absolutely floored. I told my father, I said, this girl's a bitch. This is not a normal part. And he had me read it for him, and my father started cracking up, said, don't change a thing. Just go in and read it like that. And, boy, that was it. I was hired that day.
Wow. So you're kind of feisty then by nature is what we're saying.
I have a natural talent for bitchery, apparently.
Wow.
I don't invoke it all the time, but I am capable of doing so, apparently, when necessary.
So when you were recognized from being Nellie on TV, did everyone just hate your guts and want to shove you in the mud every time they saw you?
Pretty much. I mean, obviously, I do have my following. I do have the people who said, no, I liked your character best because Laura and Mary were too sappy and good. And, you know, now people seem to have clued in that it's a TV show and say, yes, you were. I liked your show. You were a good actress. I hated you, but I know it's not you. But, yeah, there's actually been occasions where people completely freaked out. They decided that that was not acting, that Nellie Olson was real. And I have had people, I was in the Christmas parade in Hollywood. I got hit in the head with a cup of orange soda.
Oh, wow.
And a couple little girls at a charity fair kicked me in the butt, knocked me to the pavement. Yeah, some people have gotten seriously out of control over it.
Whoa.
Oh, man, that's amazing. Little girls kicking you down.
Yeah, and they thought it was funny as hell. They were well, because, you know, to them it was like, you know, they was like, that was the one time I went in costume. So they were just like, oh, it's like some cartoon character. Let's beat the crap out of her. And it's like, oh, ow, real person, oops.
Oh, boy.
So what was it like on the set of Little House? Was it just kind of like weird to have to go back in time and churn butter and shoe horses and stuff?
Yeah, well, it was bizarre because here we were, you know, shot in the 70s, but we kept going out on location. I mean, sure, when we were at Paramount Studios or MGM, it was the same as any TV show. You know, you walk out of the soundstage and you're still back in the present time. But we'd go out to Simi Valley, which is a place out in California, the Big Sky Ranch. And, you know, you can't get a cell phone signal there now. And so in the 70s, there's no phones. The nearest phone's a mile away. They had radio and TV and, like, the dressing room trailers, but it didn't work. You're in the middle of nowhere, couldn't get a signal. So you got out there, no air conditioning, no radio, no TV. The only toilets are porta-potties, which are essentially the plastic version of an outhouse. And you got put into your 1800s clothes and stayed in them. And you just stayed there. And since you had no communication with the outside world for the entire day, and you didn't have any electronics of any kind, and you were clumping around in the dirt and the scrub and the bushes in your 1800s clothes, within a couple of hours, you kind of got convinced you'd gone into the Twilight Zone. You didn't really have any trouble imagining what it was like to live in those times.
The Ingalls Zone, right?
The Ingalls Zone.
Exactly. Went back into the Ingalls Zone.
Yeah.
That was a Little House joke, Ton. You got to keep up with me.
I got it. Come on.
They catch on. Those diehard fans. We call the diehard fans either housies, like Trekkies, or my favorite, bonnet heads.
Bonnet heads. I like that.
The bonnet heads. Bonnet heads do show up a lot at my book signings and events. It's great.
I think I'm one of those.
Dusty's definitely
Are you a bonnet head?
It's not the manliest thing to it. To admit to, maybe, but...
Well, maybe we could call you, like, I don't know, an Almanzoite or something.
No, yeah. He's a bonnet head, I would say. Yeah. I went over to Dusty's house one night at, it had to be like 3 a.m. or something, just totally at random, and there he was, tucked in bed with his little PJs, watching Little House, like he was on a Little House marathon.
And I'm not going to ask what the heck you were doing at his house at 3 a.m.
Oh, it's just, yeah, you don't want to know, actually, but... No.
Couldn't sleep and just...
Yeah, it was something like that. It was just one of those random, crazy things.
Aren't you in, like, Mankato?
Yep.
Yeah.
You are? Well, you're in the Ingalls Zone. You're in freaking Mankato.
We're in the big city. Like, you know, your horse breaks a leg or you have, you know, scarlet fever or something, you'd be heading on up here.
That's right.
That's right. That's where, you know, you'd go to get the quinine for the, you know, anthrax outbreak. Yeah, that's where Doc Beck, we got to go to Mankato, get supplies.
Yep.
I have actually been to Mankato, weirdly enough.
Recently or?
No, about, 91 or 2. I went to Walnut Grove and they actually did a thing where I was staying in Minneapolis and it was the Bringing Nelly Home picnic. So we all got in a van and went to Sleepy Eye and Mankato and all the towns on the way and then stopped at Walnut Grove.
Wow.
It was great fun.
I was going to say you didn't have anthrax or something, I hope. No.
Or typhus. We had all the fun diseases on the prairie. Typhus, anthrax. They always tended to have those episodes toward the end of the year, though. And I think that was so if you asked for a raise, you could just die during the hiatus. And they could say you had a relapse. The anthrax got you.
Yeah. Wow. That's tricky.
Were you upset that your character was never... lost in an orphanage fire or went blind or got a rare blood disease or something like that?
That's right. I lived. I mean, people in that show just died in the most ghastly manner. I was very relieved that actually I'm really glad I didn't burn in a fire and have to use the baby as the battering ram there like Mrs. Garvey. That was rough. but yeah, I didn't get any horrible diseases or die in a buggy crash. I technically, as far as we know, I lived. Now, Albert, you know, Matt Labrador, his character Albert, there's kind of a problem there because when he got over the Albert is a junkie episode, they said he lived, and then later he got a mysterious TV disease, and it looked like he died. So it's sort of like the narration had him living and going on to become a doctor. So there's a big discrepancy over whether his character is dead or alive.
Yeah, because he climbed a big mountain on a field trip and then apparently died off camera or something. Is that...
Well, yeah, that's it. Now, Matt, who played Albert, he insists he's still alive. He says, no, you never saw the body. I made a miraculous recovery in the end off camera. So,
It's possible that he could have blown up in the explosion when they destroyed Walnut Grove.
Well, that's true. And then he could have gone up. Yeah, exactly, in the blast.
Then he went to Highway to Heaven. That's a different Landon show. Tying it all together.
But everyone then can come back as an angel in Highway to Heaven if you're stuck, so...
There you go. Wow.
What was Michael Landon like on the set? I've been skimming through your book, and it kind of sounded like perhaps he was a nice guy, but maybe like a perverted drunk or something. Or is that not the case?
Not quite that bad. Definitely not your Charles Ingalls boring farmer guy. Definitely a very interesting, sort of conflicted person. I mean, I used to call him the mad scientist of episodic TV. He was brilliant. I mean, he was writing the episodes, directing the episodes. He was really creating the whole thing and deciding how it would be. He wasn't just showing up and, you know, clocking in and playing Charles Ingalls. And it's amazing because in his daily life, I mean, he was the sex symbol hot guy who had just come off Bonanza, and he had his fast cars and his sunglasses and his flashy clothes and would go to things like the Playboy Jazz Festival. But then he's playing Paul Ingalls. And people really believed it. People who watch it see Michael Landon as this very wholesome Christian farmer. And, of course, his real name was Eugene Orowitz, and he was a nice Jewish boy.
Wow.
So it was interesting because he was religious, but he wasn't Christian. He was Jewish. And he was really good with all the kids, and he really wanted to make the show this thing that people could tune into and have this big emotional moment and cry and carry on. And then he wanted to, like, pop a couple beers and go out and party. It was like all kind of happening at the same time.
Wow.
Well, you know, all that hard work with the plows and dealing with the Olsons, and he was a tender guy. I mean, he cried probably every other episode, didn't he?
Right. You know, if someone actually, I've had historians tell me that if a man actually cried that much in public in the 1800s, they would have called Doc Baker and had them taken to an asylum.
Whoa.
It really was not considered normal.
Wow.
But it was Michael Landon's show, so sobbing for everyone. Cry all you want. It was great. People could just cry all day on that show.
Or didn't they lock people in the ice house when they got out of line?
I think we only had, how many people got locked? That should be a trivia question. How many people got locked in the ice house? I remember Nancy, my adopted half-sister, she locked someone in the ice house, tried to kill them. And then I think we had a couple people go nuts, and they shoved them in the ice house. So that would be a good question. Figure out, over the 9 years, how many people got locked in the ice house?
Yeah. That's why you should be watching this ton. It's heavy duty.
You're right up there. You're in the ranking stuff.
Yeah, I gotta keep track of these things.
Mm. So what was some of like your favorite Little House memories?
Oh, man, it was really a cool place to work. I guess, well, I mean, I do love the episode where I go down the hill in the wheelchair. Because that's just not something you normally get to do. It's not something that comes up in your normal job that you'll be now strapped into a wheelchair and kicked down a hill into a pond. So I found that very exciting.
Wow.
Did you get paid extra for stunt work then, or?
You know, right, you would think. No, that was the scary part, is very often we're doing our own stunts. Melissa Gilbert and I were in the river. We did our own fight scenes. We choreographed our own fight scenes. And I was always getting things poured over my head or beaten up. And nope, got paid the same.
That's the thing. If you would have been actually injured, they would have just wrote you off with some kind of weird blood disease, and then you would have been out of there.
Yep. Anthrax, buggy crash. Yep, that'd be it.
Then they would have found some sort of, like, wild boy or something on the side of the road and replaced you.
Well, you know, they sort of did do that creepy thing with Nancy. You know, like I said, my character got married off and moved out of town, but then Mrs. Olsen goes insane, has a meltdown, and adopts another little girl, and she basically has Nellie cloned. She gets this other evil little girl and does her hair the same way. So they did. They had a mini-me, Nancy. And then they brought in Shannon Doherty and Missy Francis and kind of had the miniature Laura thing going. It was very bizarre.
Weird.
Yeah, the Ingalls had like 9 orphans or something, didn't they, at one point?
Yeah, once they started, Albert was the first, was when they adopted Albert. And after that, absolutely every single character on the show adopted a child, if not several. It was just adopted crazy.
See, that's Minnesota nice. That's what
that's. Yeah. Do you adopt people that often in Minnesota? Is that true? Does everyone in Minnesota have 3 or 4 adopted children?
I mean, sometimes. I mean, we'll bring them in and we'll teach them sign language and get them cleaned up and, you know. it's the right thing to do.
Boys running through the fields in Minnesota that need to be taken in.
A lot of morphine addictions yeah, around town. Yeah.
A lot of feral children out in the pasture.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to take care of them.
So were there any, like, really weird moments that stick out, or, like, any fist fights or anything weird like that you remember happening on set?
We did actually get along pretty well. I mean, I talk about in the book that you know, Melissa Gilbert and I really hit it off right away and became best friends. And Melissa Sue was more the haughty cheerleader type who wouldn't have anything to do with us. But, you know, we behaved ourselves. We had a show to make. And so even if somebody, if you felt like beating someone senseless, you just didn't. You said, I'll get out of here eventually. I'll go home at the end of the day. We're getting paid. I can tolerate them for another 9 hours. So we would generally be pretty polite to each other. But it was bizarre because you had all these different personalities and you weren't suddenly in this 1800s thing. But we also had the weird thing that kind of stood out. The crew, because remember all the guys, the grips, the electricians, like they're not in 1800s gear. So we're all bundled up in little corsets and bustles and dresses. And there's these guys, you know what grips are like, and they're like Teamsters. There's all these guys in jeans and little T-shirts or no shirt, all sweaty, like smoking stuff, like climbing up on ladders. And so you have like all these, like, you know, half-naked construction workers stripped to the waist running around in the middle of this. It was kind of funky. Gave us something to look at between scenes.
Sure, yeah.
Little orgy on the prairie. that's something that we're working on, actually.
Yeah, I would imagine someone's probably made that. You know, they always make the X-rated films and use, like, TV shows. So there's probably been. And then Little on the Prairie, they've done all that Best Little House, har, har, har. You know, it's pretty popular. They'd probably use that one.
Wow.
So were you upset when you found out the show was ending and they were going to blow up the town? Or I don't know if you weren't in that last episode, but...
Yeah. Ed already left, but it was weird. I thought it was a good ending. A lot of people were kind of freaked out by it and said, oh, they shouldn't have blown it up. But I understood it because, you know, Michael was talking about they recycle everything in Hollywood. And I thought, well, if I leave it up, they're going to film other stuff on it. And it'll be kind of horrible to see them make all these cheesy, awful movies on our beautiful, the Olsen's Mercantile and the Little House. I've got to somehow dispose of it. And he was trying to think of, like, some way to end the show. It's like, how do we end? We've had everything. We've had the anthrax. We've had the typhus. What could we possibly do? And Michael also was always, he had this kind of eternally 13-year-old boy mentality going on. He liked to blow things up. He liked to get loose with the firecrackers. And here was a chance to accomplish all of these goals at once, give the show a great ending, keep the sets from being reused, and blow stuff up.
So they, like, legitimately destroyed the entire set with that?
They did. They did. They didn't blow up the little house. They dismantled that. And they didn't blow up the church. Even Michael Landon drew the line at blowing up a church on TV. He's like, ooh, could be too much. But the blind school, the mercantile, Nellie's Hotel, all the main buildings, kablooey.
Man.
Wow.
It's like Landon's.
And no special effects. They just blew them up.
Had to make sure you got it in the first shot there.
Oh, yeah. There's a great shot. If you watch the exploding episode, the first one they blow up is the blind school. It's huge. And they actually put too much explosive in, and it really blows. It blows up much bigger than all the others. And you can see when you watch on TV, there's like this one board comes flying out of the rubble right at the camera, and you know, it cuts. And that shot, it cuts sooner than any of the other explosions, and it's because it actually blew up too big and all kinds of crap went slamming into the camera and everybody had to run for their lives. It was great.
Whoa.
Wow.
So that's like Landon's big FU to Hollywood there, just blow up the set. So
yeah. He was definitely like, he and the network used to fight all the time because, you know, they didn't want to make Little House on the Prairie. They had Michael Landon from Bonanza, and they were going to give him like a cop show. He was going to be like Knight Rider or something in a car and be police. a detective or a doctor or something. And he said, no, I want to be Charles Ingalls. And NBC said, you're out of your mind. It can't be Charles Ingalls. No, I want to be Charles Ingalls. I want to do Little House on the Prairie. And they kept saying, no, and they didn't want to give him a budget. Oh, it was awful. And he fought them constantly and said, no, I'm going to do this. And, of course, he was right every time. The thing was this, like, huge mega hit, which, of course, drove the executives out of their minds.
Yeah, wow.
So it is possible that Michael Landon could have been in Knight Rider, and then Hasselhoff would have been Charles Ingalls.
How freaky would that have been?
About that, yeah.
That's entirely possible. It could have gone that way.
That'd be amazing.
So when the show was over, where did you go after that?
Well, you know, I did the Love Boat in Fantasy Island, because, like, it's the law. you know, do a series in the 70s. You got to do your Love Boat and Fantasy Island time. And that was kind of fun. The Love Boat was fun. The Fantasy Island was kind of a drag because Hervé Villechaize was kind of scary. And I had to play, I was a prostitute on Fantasy Island, so I had to wear this horrible outfit, and it was awful.
Sweet.
Eve Plum, Jan Brady, played my mother.
Is she that much older than you, or?
No, we're exactly the same age.
Huh.
It was weird. She came to Fantasy Island, and her character had this TV disease where she wasn't going to live to see her kid grow up. So they took her into the future, this whole kind of Back to the Future thing with Ricardo Montalban, and she finds out her daughter's run away from home and become a hooker. And it's one of the most ghastly episodes of Fantasy Island ever made. And I did that. I did a very cute movie with Marie Osmond of all people. I did a thing called I Married Wyatt Earp. Yet another Western, but with Marie Osmond. That was bizarre.
Makes sense, yeah.
And then I started doing theater. And then, of course, I was doing stand-up comedy. And that's how I kind of wound up where I am now with the book and everything is I was doing stand-up. And then a couple years ago, I changed it where I started telling more stories from my life and made it more of a one-woman show. And then decided, well, why not write the rest of it down and have a book?
Yeah, can you tell us a little bit about your book that just came out?
Yeah, I rather like it. It is called Confessions of a Prairie Bitch, How I Survived Nellie Olson and Learned to Love Being Hated, which is a good title because it's true. It's really worked out for me. A lot of people reject their characters. I mean, you know, I was just speaking of poor Eve Plum, who not overly fond of the Brady Bunch, that girl. She's sort of accepted it now. But a lot of people who come out of these shows are just kind of like, ugh, don't mention the show. And they don't want to talk about their character, and they hate their character. And I went through a phase when I first got off the show that, like, ugh, I wanted to get away from Little House on the Prairie. But now everything's really come full circle. Little House is really popular. It's in 140 countries. It's on DVD. And having played this horrible girl, Nellie Olson, it's done me nothing but good my whole life. It's really worked out in my favor. I mean, a week from now, I'm going to be in the south of France.
Wow.
I get free trips to France. The French love Little House on the Prairie, and of course, well, they do like Nellie Olson best. They don't think she's mean. They think she's French. And French people are cuckoo for Nellie Olson, so it works for me.
Yeah.
So it's really worked out. The Nellie thing worked. I was able to vent all my hostilities and get to be this horrible, horrible person on TV, which I think allowed me to be nicer in my own life. And now I look back, and I had a really fun character, so I don't have to be embarrassed about it. And people are still watching the show, and I have all these bizarre stories. And so it's how I sort of adjusted to it, embraced Nellie Olson, and she wound up really helping me in my day-to-day life.
Yeah, some people, we've interviewed a few other people, and we won't mention names, but some of them are like, you can ask me two questions about my former roles, and then that's all. And it's like, well,
how weird is that?
I know some people get mad. You don't want to be mean to them, but it's like a lot of the listeners, a lot of them don't care what play you're going to be showing up in 3 weeks or whatever.
It's like even if they're doing something cool now, they got famous because of whatever character they started with. I know that no matter what I do, when I drop dead, it's going to say, best remembered is Nellie Olson from Little House on the Prairie.
That's not a bad epitaph, though.
It's exactly, hello. And it's true. I mean, okay, if it was a stupid show, but at least it was Little House on the Prairie. It was well made, so I don't should be embarrassed. But, you know, it's even if you do something cooler later, the only reason they let you do that cool thing and be in that movie or that other show is because of the show you got famous for.
Yeah.
So you're sort of indebted. You're sort of stuck. You wouldn't be doing the interview if it wasn't for the dopey character. So I don't know. I sort of know where my bread is buttered. I'm sort of grateful for these things. So I like that I was on Little House on the Prairie, that I was Nellie.
Yeah, that's cool. And you're going to be at Walnut Grove here coming up, right?
I am. I'm coming to town. I'm doing Sacramento, San Francisco, France, and then Walnut Grove. Because you want to follow up San Francisco and Paris with Walnut Grove. That's what you want to do.
That's the natural progression of things.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's completely normal. But I've been to Walnut Grove before. I've stuck my foot in Plum Creek. I actually wound up like diving in. I intend to again if it's half as hot as it was before. So I'm looking forward. I'm going to come to Walnut Grove. I'm going to sell books. I'm going to sign them. I am doing all sorts of clever things now. As I said, I do stand-up comedy. I wrote a book. Although everything sort of relates to the prairie. Also, because of the guy who played my husband on Little House was Percival. He died of AIDS in 1986. So I've done a lot of stuff helping people who are sick and living with HIV. And in fact, that's how I wound up in Walnut Grove the first time in 92. It was a benefit. There was a whole AIDS hospice, this program helping people in Minneapolis, and we did a whole prairie thing.
Okay.
And now I'm with a group called PROTECT, or National Association to Protect Children. I'm on the board. And we're changing laws to better protect kids because, you know, you got all the predators and the child pornography and people molesting kids, and it's insane. And so we're trying to get children better protection legally from all that kind of horrible stuff and make it safer.
Use your stardom for the good of the nation.
I'm using my hideous, bitchy Nelly powers for good, not evil, yes.
All right.
It works because, you know, it gives you a platform. You can come in and say, well, nobody wants to talk about AIDS. Nobody wants to talk about child abuse. These are very difficult topics. But then they say, oh, it's Nellie Olson. Well, maybe we can talk about it.
I mean, get them in the door and then bring up the heavy-duty stuff when they're already inside.
Yep.
Exactly. I get my little 1800s high-button boot in the door, and I'm good to go.
That's all it takes.
All right. And you're going to be in Walnut Grove on July 23rd, right?
Yes, that's when I'm coming in, that weekend of the 24th there. Yeah, I come back from France, and I turn right around and come see you guys.
Okay, and then...
I'll be babbling in French when I arrive. It'll be great.
Yeah, if we show up there, can we get photos or something? Or?
Oh, totally, yeah, because I'm going to be there the whole weekend, the whole 2 days, because it's the whole Laura Ingalls Wilder days. And there's all sorts of events. I think I start like each day, like 8 in the morning, and go all day. We're going to have book signings because they've ordered. They down at the museum, they've just got crates of the book. And so they're going to be selling those, and I'll be signing them. And then I also like to take questions. Some people, they just sign. They'll just sit there and sign the book. I like to talk to people. I like to let people ask questions. I answer them. They can take pictures with me, sign the autograph. You know, I'm a full-service celebrity.
That's nice.
I'm going to show up, and I would like a photo, if possible.
Okay.
Because this is a bit forward, but I had a bit of a crush on you on that show, and I've seen you.
Where were you people back then?
I know.
Nobody wanted to admit they liked Nellie Olson back then. Guys either thought I was just, like, too scary, or they didn't want to admit it if they did. Now I meet people say, oh, I like Nellie then, but, oh, when I was 16, no, people were nowhere to be found.
Well, we're still out here.
Well, there you go. You're out in Mankato now. I know. Well, yeah, will you come on over? Absolutely. You can come, take a picture with me. I'll sign your book. It'll be great.
Okay. And then you're going to be at the Mall of America on the 26th. So, Tanya, you can go
to
that
one. On the Monday. Yes. Absolutely. I've never been. I'm very excited. It's huge, isn't it?
It's pretty large, yeah.
It's a lot of shoes.
Lots.
Oh, I like shoes.
Shoe stores.
I like shoes.
T-shirt stores, restaurants.
I should bring, like, an empty suitcase.
Amusement parks.
Could do some shopping.
You can take a ride on some kind of Dora the Explorer ride or something.
Aw. It's pretty... Well, and don't they have, like, a beach and, like, you can, like, swim in
the
mall
everything.
Or something?
Yep. You can do whatever you want there.
I'm going to have to check that out.
Well, do you have any other parting words for the listeners?
I don't know. Gosh, I know. Oh, Alonzo's supposed to be coming into town, too. I think you're getting him the week before.
Okay.
Dean Butler. You're getting Dean Butler the week
before.
There you go, Tom. He may stick around. He's fun. If you get Dean Butler, you'll like him. Alonzo's a great guy. But any parting shot? I don't know. Well, you know, come see me in Walnut Grove. Don't push me in Plum Creek, no matter what a good idea it may seem like at the time.
Okay.
I'll probably dunk myself anyway for the hell of it, but don't try to hold me underwater and drown me, okay?
I'll try to control myself.
Yeah, you're safe with you're safe with us.
You have to come and protect me from the overzealous on it.
That's right. Elmanzo's got nothing on me.
Yeah. Dusty will be throwing himself in front of you. No!
I'm the real manly around these parts.
Now, the restaurant in Walnut Grove, did they rename it like Nellie's?
Yeah, I believe so. I ate some ice cream there last
year. Oh,
that's
great, because it wasn't named Nellie's in 92. It was like with some other name, so I'll have to come and eat at Nellie's. It'll be great.
It's come
fantastic.
Full circle.
Yeah, exactly. All these years, I'm totally into it. I'm going to go shopping. I'm going to buy bonnets and little tin buckets and, you know, wooden pencils.
Yeah.
I'm totally there.
All right.
Well, that's great.
All right, well, thanks so much for letting us bother you here for a little while.
Oh, that's cool.
We better let you turn the AC back on. We don't want you burning.
Yeah, I
gotta
go turn up the air conditioning. It's like, how hot is it there? It's like 98 degrees out here.
It's 147 here, I believe.
Right.
And 200% humidity. Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
There's clouds of mosquitoes everywhere.
Yikes.
We walk around with foggers. Yeah. That's what you have to forward to.
Lovely. See you in 2 weeks.
Yep. We'll see you then. Thanks very much.
Okay. Thanks. Right.
Have a good night.
All right. Bye.
Goodbye.
You do.
You're listening to The Five Count. Now all that's missing is Charo.
Eat it, Skunkin!
Red-headed pecker was sitting on a limb. Ma said chicken, but Nelly got him. Wrung his neck and picked him clean. Funniest chicken I ever seen. Hey,
Barefoot Nelly. Oh, Barefoot Nelly.
Hey,
Barefoot Nelly. You're the one for me.
Leg hole walking in the lot, make three tracks and just one dot. Nelly says, "Who you think I am?" That hog's missing about one ham. Hey,
Barefoot Nelly, oh Barefoot Nelly, hey Barefoot Nelly, you're the one for me.
Went to town one day, riding on a load of hay. Sold a man a trip to Mars. Now she sits behind the bars.
Hey, Barefoot Nelly,
oh Barefoot Nelly,
hey Barefoot Nelly, you're the one for me.
Put on her Sunday dress, thought that it would look the best. Made out of an old feed sack, hot feed wrote right on the back.
Hey, Barefoot Nelly, oh Barefoot Nelly, hey Barefoot Nelly, you're the one for me.
Got a pair of shoes and she can wear them if she'll choose. So why the heck she got the blues and wants to wear a size 22? Hey,
Barefoot Nelly, oh Barefoot Nelly,
hey Barefoot Nelly,
you're the one for
me. Oh, the night was dark and stormy when this message came to me. It was from my darling Nelly, who is far across the sea. Oh dear Jack, I know I'm dying. I've no friends, no parents, none. But remember, dearest Jackie, there's a home for us on high. Oh, dear mother, I must leave you. I must go across the sea. I must find my darling Nelly, who so dearly cared for me. I was wandering through the graveyard when I found where Nelly lay. was there, my heart was broken. It was there, I knelt and prayed. On the field of flowery Spain, and the girl I love is sleeping in the cold and silent grave. Lay me where my Nellie's sleeping, close beside her let me lie, where the blooming flowers are creeping, that'll live.
By and by, wait till the sun shines, Nelly, and the clouds go drifting by. Don't you cry. Down lovers, a lane we'll wander, sweetheart, you and I. Wait till the sun shines, Nelly,
brought an intelligent elephant, and Nelly was her name. One dark night, she slipped her iron chain, and off she ran to Hindustan and was never seen again. Night by night, she danced to the circus band. When Nelly was leading the big parade, she looked so proud and grand. No more tricks for Nelly to perform. They taught her how to take a bow, and she took the crowd by storm.
Jump, jump.
Thank you.
All right.
There it is, and we're back.
There it is. There it was.
Welcome back to the Five Count.
Welcome back. It's us now, just us.
It's the only show in southern Minnesota that brings you back-to-back huge celebrity star interviews.
Yep. We just do that.
Rambling them out here and there and everywhere.
It's kind of ridiculous.
Who does that?
I don't think anybody else interviewed her for her coming here. And that's like a big deal.
It's a pretty big deal. She was the main villain on that show.
Yep.
Like, she got really mad and...
How many, wasn't she there all the years until the very end or something? What is it, like 9 years?
I think she was there for 7 of the 9.
Okay.
Because she moved away to New York.
Okay.
To be rich, and she had twins, and one was Jewish and one was Christian, which I'm pretty sure is against the Jewish bylaws, but I mean, this was TV, so.
Yeah.
We're not sticklers for that sort of thing, because it was good entertainment.
Yep.
And then she stole Laura's horse and was like beating the crap out of it. Remember that episode?
She's kind of a rebel.
She's really like the Ton of the Prairie.
Kinda.
Or in other words, Ton is the Nelly of KMSU.
That's right.
That's why he gets all those snarky messages left in his mailbox.
Yeah. They're keeping a keen eye on this guy. Anyhow, I think that was great. She was great. Go there. Go to Walnut Grove and check her out.
Oh, I'll be going.
I know you'll be going. Tell everybody else to go there.
Go there. July 23rd.
Go there.
It's on Friday.
Check it out.
This coming Friday.
It's pretty awesome.
She's going to be there. She'll probably be signing some autographs. Maybe I'll sign an autograph.
That's right.
If you want. My book's not out yet. It's in the, you know, kind of pre-stages of the printing process. We're shopping it around a little bit. But, you know, you can definitely get an 8x10 glossy.
If you watch the show when you were young, definitely go there and meet her and read her book. She'll talk to you all about all of her fun times making the show.
I read the book.
I'm telling everybody else, Dusty. Come on.
Let me play this sad.
It's kind of sad.
Make out music.
Yeah. It's been too many years of us making out over this music.
Anywho.
Too many years.
I read the book. It's pretty good.
Pretty great.
Maybe get it at Walnut Grove, and then she'll write her name in it and take your photo with her, and then you can high-five her, and then you can go around and tell everybody.
Yep. As you could tell, she seems like a pretty cool person. Should be cool to you.
It's pretty cool. What do we have planned for next week? You're not even going to be here.
Is I'm that, doing sweet stuff.
You're out of here?
Yeah.
So it's just me?
Could be if you would like it to be that way, yeah.
I see how it is. What should I do?
Well, you left me hanging the other week. What the heck?
That's true.
I got big hot dates to go on, okay? Big time hot dates.
I got big hot great radio dates.
Yeah, I've had some of those.
We'll be fine here. I mean, hurry back, but you don't have to. I'm sure we'll be fine.
Spending the night.
Maybe me and the Dirty Birds will have some sort of kickoff.
I'll be far off. I'll be far off in Never Never Land.
I understand.
Doing beautiful things.
Let us just say that you could go to thefivecount.com.
You could go there.
And you can go to savethecrumbs.com. And you could also go to Allison Ongram's website, which I don't know offhand, but we will definitely have a link posted on thefivecount.com.
Yep. Or Google it and you can check it out.
It'll be good.
It's good. All of it is good stuff that you should go to and look at and participate in.
And we'll be back. I'll be back next week.
Dusty will be here.
See ya.
I'll be on a hot date.